Come on, let's go. Those, my friends, are the words of March Madness. Anybody watched any basketball lately? Yes. You know, like behind at half, especially when your team is the higher seed and you're getting ousted by one of a lower seed, struggling to play like you usually do, and now the clock is winding down. There's 3 seconds left. You're down by two. You get one more inbound on the ball, and you're like, come on, let's go. Get this together. The plea gets started as the ball gets heaved in. With a quick turn, the star shooter heaves up that half-point shot or half-court shot, the epitome of March Madness, and the whole place just watches as the ball arcs. Come on, let's go. It starts to top and come down. It looks like it's possible. We might even get backboard, maybe even the rim. Come on, let's go. It starts to move from what is a desperate plea to one with anticipation and hopefulness. Come on, let's go. And as that ball goes into the rim from hundreds of miles away through our TVs, unconcerned that our neighbors five doors down can hear us as well, it rips through the net, and we're like, yeah, come on, let's go. Right, the same words, come on, let's go, and the victory dances and unfettered hugging begins. Come on, let's go. That's what I found myself saying, because I watched some basketball, but I was watching soccer on Thursday night. Any soccer fans out there? Anybody catch the USA Jamaica game? Oh, it was an amazing ending. Last play of the game, corner kick coming in. This was it. They were down by one, and they nailed it. They got it into a goal. It was a deflection off one of the other defenders' heads, but hey, you'll take what you can get, and they ended up going into overtime and winning it. Come on, let's go. From what was a plea like, all right, come on, don't mess this one up. Now, no matter your sport, it can work this way. Baseball, bottom of the ninth, down by one, runner on second, full count. This is the last pitch, last serve in the tennis match. Or maybe performing arts is your thing. And it's the whispers of parents as their child or grandchild is about to come out on stage to dance or to sit down at the piano bench and play their piece. Or it's the first grader that has like three words to say into a microphone as part of the program at school. And it's in that pause before the start, before the pitch, before the toss, as the group comes on, as they sit down at the piano bench, as that first grader steps up to the mic and all of a sudden realizes all the eyes that are looking at him or her, and the parents are like, come on, let's go. We urge and we plea, but man, then, as the winning run comes in, as the serve is an ace to clinch the match, as the performer nails the number, or the pianist or the first grader finish their piece, we celebrate. Come on, let's go. Yes. The same words that were a plea become praise and celebration. Similarly, the words called out by the crowds on Palm Sunday can function in two different ways. And in fact, the understanding of the two different ways of this, we can not only capture the central message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, but we can use this word in the midst of this world, this present world, to move us toward trust and confidence, toward hope and peace, that hope and peace that Jesus walked in on Palm Sunday to bring. And that word is the one you've already said a bunch of times today, Hosanna. So it was read just a minute ago, Mark 11. I want to reference what's there, but I actually want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 118. Psalm 118 is where we're going to land today. I mean, Mark 11, verse 1 is where we start, and so I just want to reference some of that, but then we're going to land in Psalm 118. Right in the middle of your Bible, just kind of open it up to the center, right where you put the bologna and the sandwich. Open it up there, and you should get into the Psalms, and then get to 118. So, Mark 11, We heard about Jesus saying there's going to be a colt that's ready for you. They found it just as they had expected. They bring it to him. They throw their cloaks over it. Jesus sets on it. Verse 8, many people spread their cloaks on the road. Thank you, Jeff. That was beautiful. I don't know if anybody saw this as we were walking in. Not only did he wave his palm branch, but he got his coat out and like threw it down in the aisle so that we could walk across that this morning. So well done. That was a first for me. While others had spread their branches that they had cut in the fields, those who went ahead and those who follow shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, those of you that got Psalm 118 open, look at verse 25. You'll find the same words. Hosanna, or Lord, save us, which is what Hosanna means. Lord, save us. Lord, rescue us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming king of our father David. Hosanna in the highest, they go on to say there in Mark 11. And Jesus entered Jerusalem. Now, if you've got Psalm 118 open, allow your eyes to go up to verse 21 now. I'm going to read it for you there, and you can read along with me. Not out loud, just I'll read it. You can read in your head. I will give you thanks for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. It's interesting to me that in the midst of a psalm that is otherwise filled with praise and with gratitude is this plea, this prayer. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. But before it and after it is affirmations of God, how God has granted success, how God has rescued. And so already at its inception, this verse of Psalm 118, which the crowd is calling out as Jesus is going into Jerusalem, is already not just a plea, not just a prayer, but one pregnant with anticipation. The answer would be yes. Hosanna is a prayer prayed to a God who has been and was believed and would continue to be faithful. God, save us. Hosanna is that save us or help us portion of that. Lord, save us. Even though we don't see it now, we know you can. Yet, I have to think as they're saying Hosanna on that Palm Sunday, as Jesus is making his way into Jerusalem, that increasingly the shouts of the crowd of Hosanna are like when the half-court shot has already been heaved and it's starting to come down on the other side and it's looking like it's going to get rim and maybe nothing but net, and they're already increasing from a desperate plea to one of anticipation and hopefulness, unconcerned that the neighbors at the end of the block would hear them. This is the beginning of the eruption into celebration. The victory dances have already begun. As they go along the road, unfettered hugging is already ensuing. And so they cut the branches and they laid them on the road, for their king was coming in to take his throne. And by adopting Hosanna, a phrase, a quote from a psalm, which was the songbook of the people of God, it would be familiar to every Jew, this word Hosanna. And Mark wants to emphasize from that, Mark is the writer of this gospel, he wants to emphasize that every messianic expectation has now been realized, at least in the minds of those speaking this word. Let me explain what that means. There's a few technical words, messianic and all that. Basically, every expectation of who and what the coming king would be and do was being realized. They could taste the victory already. They remembered when God had split the Red Sea and drowned the Egyptian army. They recalled when he cleared the promised land of all of its enemies. They now chanted in victory to remembering David with a sling who could slay the mighty giant. And now they chanted about the son of David, one who would be a promised one in his line, one who would be like him, but even better, whose power would be even stronger, whose rule would last even longer. So Hosanna, they cried, their desperate plea, no longer in desperation, but a cry of victory celebration. Their king would remove the oppressive powers, remove the people that put them down, and they would again reign on the top of the food chain like they had in the past. At least that's what they thought. Yet that version of victory isn't exactly how it worked out. Jesus didn't go in and wipe out all the Roman rulers and all that would oppress them. And yet they were right. But the victory was even better. We now know what that week would come. I mean, Palm Sunday is followed by a Monday, Thursday, and then a Good Friday, and then an Easter morning. We who are living post-Easter know what's to come. They didn't yet. But because we do, and in an attempt to pattern our lives after the words and the ways of Jesus, we will walk along with Jesus in the events of the week to come. We'll gather on Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, and Easter morning next Sunday, the resurrection day, and we'll cry both the hosannas that are please and the hosannas that are praise and victory. We'll use both sides of the word. As we come to Thursday, as we hear about Jesus preparing the Passover meal, it would be the first offering of Holy Communion, just like we will take this morning. We'll pray with praise, with thanksgiving, the Hosanna that celebrates the victory that's won for us and that's delivered in this meal. As we come to Friday, the arrest and the crucifixion, suffering and the dying, we'll reflect on the reality that it was for our failures, for our sins, for the things that lead us to feel shame and guilt, that lead us to pray and plea, Hosanna, Lord, save us. Lord, save us from ourselves. Save us from our shame and letting that be the thing that defines us. Save us from being shackled to our poor behaviors. Hosanna, Lord, save us, deliver us, get us out of this. We'll pray. And then we can get to the culmination, the pinnacle of our faith and of the life and the work of Jesus, Sunday morning, the resurrection day, where it will not just be anticipated victory like the people laying down palm branches on Palm Sunday, because we already know the victory that is to come and that has been won, but full victory. We'll cry Hosanna in unfettered praise, and I will welcome you next Sunday to say with all you've got so that the whole neighbor can hear, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Which really is just an expanded version of Hosanna, a celebration of and in the God who has saved us. So for us on the backside of Easter, we get to say and pray Hosanna, praise Hosanna in a way that they didn't get to on that first Palm Sunday. Because the half-court shot of Jesus' March Madness, his march toward Jerusalem, it's already in the books. It was already a solid swish. We've already got the highlight reel to prove it. If you're holding the Bible, it's in your hands. There's the highlight reel. And yet the two sides of Hosanna continue to be useful, even though there's no question about how things will turn out in the end or who was victorious. For even though Jesus, the light of the world, has come into the world, there's still a lot of darkness. And in some places and at some times, it feels like it's only getting darker. Injustice, and violence. We prayed about it this morning, both close to home and across the globe. It doesn't seem to be waning. People without food, without adequate housing and healthcare right around the corner and across the world. People are trying, and despite their efforts and funds and organizations and lives dedicated to these causes, it doesn't seem to be going away. Confusion and clouding of the good news of Jesus amid all the other voices, all the other truths, all the clamor of this world doesn't seem to be changing either. Now we've got a world where things feel less and less in control and less headed in a good direction, it seems. And whether we just hear more about these things now, or it's really more prevalent, either way, it's true. Disease and grief, suffering and death isn't going away. So this cry, Hosanna, as a plea, as a prayer, as a cry for rescue is still needed and useful. So let it be on your lips. Add this to your repertoire, your patterns of prayer as you face the darkness of this world. Why? Because words create worlds. That's a quote from Abraham Joshua Heschel. He's first attributed to have said that, a Jewish theologian. But I give you these words for times and situations like that because they help us face the world with a posture and perspective that God gifts to us. When we say, Hosanna, and we say it as a plea, say it not just as a plea, like a hope, like a thrown up half court shot and who knows what, but let it draw you to the one from whom darkness flees. Let it not just be a cry out in desperation because nothing else works, but cry out like in Psalm 118, pregnant with anticipation of what he will do because you know what he has done. In different words, this is the prayer actually that we already pray and have today. Your kingdom come, your will be done. These words have been and are creating our world. For his will is for life and for light to reign. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Is one other way of saying, Hosanna, provide for us. Lord, save us and give to us. Give us the fruits of your cross, the protection of your angels, the guiding of your spirit. Hosanna. In a way, in this way, God's word has already been creating our world. So let us use them even more intentionally and expectantly. Let this be a part of the pattern of our prayers. Pray Hosanna as a plea for rescue that we know one day will be. But we ask him to break in and give us glimpses even now, to give us tastes already now of what one day will be ours in full, Lord. Give it to us already now in part. Just like as we come to the meal of this altar, the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, we get a foretaste of the feast to come, of the light breaking in, of a taste of the presence of God being with us. That, man, we get his presence here, certainly. We get infused with his power, but one day we will stand in his nearer presence and get a full view and enjoyment of his power fully at work as he makes all of this new. Pray Hosanna as a plea with that in mind, but pray it as well in victory. For one already in the books, for in speaking that word Hosanna, and remembering a God who has and does provide, it creates trust, which leads to confidence, reminding us of who our God is and how he has provided, which creates hope and peace that even as we look at places where he's not yet provided, he moves us to hope. Let these words create your world. Just like, come on, let's go, can take on two different meanings in March Madness or whatever other pursuit you're cheering on. So in the madness of this march, in the madness of this life, as we march toward eternity together, as we live on this side of eternity, pray both kinds of hosannas. Because we've got a God that hears your hosanna pleas and is ready to help you overflow with hosanna glee. Because in him, the victory is already won. So say it with me. Hosanna! Hosanna. Amen. May the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.